So this is the Sprint Showcase for Sprint 127. I think we have enough to get started now. I'm going to share my screen. If someone could just let me know when it comes through. Can you all see that?
I can see it, yeah.
Great, thanks. Okay, so like I said, this is a Sprint Showcase for Sprint 127. During this sprint, the Mind the Parrot team was continuing to work on the system notifications, the facility type for product versioning, and screen mockups. And the Sprint Spirit Animal is actually an animal this time, which is a positive. It was a peacock. Wonderful. Sometime you guys will have to let me know how you pick these animals. In any case, this sprint was a good one. You got through almost 49.5 story points across, I think I counted before, it was 18 tickets. So well done on this sprint. I looked earlier here on Sonar. I didn't see anything that was failing. Let's do a quick check again just to make sure. And it looks good, so for the one that we know about. Okay. And with that, I will hand it over to Sebastian to start going through the specific tickets that were worked on.
Okay, thank you, Wes. And yes, so during this sprint, we have mainly worked on finishing the system notifications. We'll be able to see them in action, both the part about managing them, administering them is complete, as well as displaying them for the end users. Other than that, we have continued on the main feature that we are hoping to deliver for 3.7, which is the ability to edit orderables and type approved products and use them in requisitions and in orders. And yeah, so those two things were a focus of this sprint. And I can hand it over to the team to start the showcase. So whoever wants to go first, feel free to.
Yeah, I can go first.
Okay, sure, Lukas. Okay.
Can you see my screen?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so in this sprint, I have worked only on one ticket. It's about adding a versioning to approved products resource. We mainly added this feature to the approved products because we want to avoid snapshotting values in the requisition, in the requisitions. And yeah, and now the first thing, I quickly log into the UAT server. And the first thing is that, of course, if we retrieve a single approved product with only ID, yeah, we get the latest version. In this case, is version number 2. Of course, there is no problem to specify a version. And in this case, we get the specific version, yeah, in this case, version 1. Okay. Next one, with update. Of course, we can update approved product. In this case, I retrieved the previous approved product. I changed the max period of stock to 6.0. I hope everything is okay. Yeah, and you can see that there is new version, version 3. For now, we assume that every call for this endpoint will create a new version, even if we don't provide any changes, because for now it's easier and we think that this situation has low priority right now. But of course, we can change that in the future. And now, of course, I can retrieve version 3, yeah? It's working. Now the delete, I can delete a specific version of approved product, like in this case. no content, but response is 204, so it's correct. And in this case, if we back here, I get error message that approved product doesn't exist. If I remove the version ID parameter and only specify ID, in this case, I remove approved product completely. Yep, but this is temporary because in the next release, we probably remove the endpoint to avoid problems when approved product is removed and it's used somewhere else. And in now, if I try to retrieve approved product by ID, I get error message that it doesn't exist. Of course, when I create new one, one moment. Okay, now I get error message, not sure why. But of course it should work. One moment. Give me a moment. Not sure why. Okay. I will check that later. Probably something is wrong with my script in Postman.
Have we changed anything about creating fuzzy type approved products?
Not exactly. Only the thing is that if we provide ID in the request body, then there will be an error message. Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe I move on to the next one about searching. Yeah, we can of course search approved product by get endpoint, and we should get response. The problem here is that we always get the latest version of approved product for the given facility type and program, and this can be an issue when we want retrieve approved product that are used in requisition. That's why I created a post search where we define a very similar body. We have the same properties as for the get search endpoint. The only difference is that we can specify exact version identity of approved product. In this case, we have we want single approved product in version one, yes. And now I get empty. Oh yeah, I get empty because I removed it. One moment. Quickly. I hope this is for the correct. One moment. Okay, now if I should check some. Okay, I quickly remove program and facility type because mine probably it's for the different. Yeah, as you can see now, I get a response. Yeah, I get only a single approved product with the given ID and version. And yeah, now quickly I should be able to update. No, I'm not able, okay. But it should be able to modify the version and I should get a correct, yes. And if version or ID doesn't exist, I get empty result. And if I don't specify ID or version ID, so ID, so if I send something like this or something like this, yes, I get error message that I have to provide both ID and version ID fields. And I think it's everything related to this ticket. Do you have any questions about it?
Could you show the response body for the facility type approved product?
Which response?
Like maybe getting, just getting.
Getting a single or?
A single facility type approved product. Okay, and can you scroll to that down to the very bottom of this?
Yeah.
So I noticed that the version is returned twice. So one time as a part of this meta object, and then it's additionally as.
Yes, I saw that earlier and I fixed it already. So now I show you the response from the test server and you can see that version ID doesn't exist. Yeah, probably the server was not restarted with the newest version.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. Well, one other question, if I can, is from the forum, I thought we were going to do like the versioning things under API v2, or was that only for the requisition endpoint?
I think it's only for a requisition.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. I was trying to remember. And yep, the more I talked, I was like, oh yeah, that is just for requisitions. Okay.
Okay. It's there's no more question than it's everything from me. Thank you. Who wants to be next?
Okay, so I can continue. Let me share my screen. I hope you can see it. Okay, if so, so. First ticket I have committed and I have resolved was about providing a serializable isolation level to orderable update. It was a quite simple ticket to implement. However, I had to add a dedicated testing code for it. So I will show you the changes because it is impossible to see it anywhere. As you can see in the code, it was just to add one additional parameter to transaction annotation to make the transaction serializable. I have added it to create function and update function. And I have also created a test for testing the behavior of it to assure that everything is executed serializable one by one, and that's it. So this issue is about it. The next issue I have resolved was about adding active flag to passive type of products. So I have introduced a new flag to FTP. I have also modified the search endpoint that returns only active FTAPs. And I have also added a deprecated mark to delete endpoint, and I have updated demo data. So as you can see, here there is an API console with facility type of approved products and get option. Here there is an active parameter. By default, it is set to true. It's not set to true, but when we send a request without this parameter, the backend treats it as true. So I have committed a request for the showcase. So here you can see the result. There are a lot of FTAPs. And here you can see there is a flag. And this flag for the current facilitate approved products is set to true. We have added this flag in order to mark old FTAPs that there are not longer used as inactive, instead of deleting them. Okay, so that's all about this issue. And the next issue was about designing a requisition line item to use in order label and to use with the order label and FTP versioning. And I have started a discussion about it. Here you can see the whole discussion. Here there are the results of it. I have created several tickets for it. And the first ticket is about adjusting requisition line item fields to use order label versioning. We have decided to remove several fields from the requisition line item that are snapshotted, copied from the order label. And after adding the orderable versioning, and the fields will be calculated. So we will no longer save it to the database. And of course, a migration will be committed for removing these fields. The second issue is also it is in the same way. We have to remove several fields from FTAP object, and as well, we remove the fields that are snapshot. Okay. The next issue is about adding version 2 endpoints to requisition controller. We have noticed that in several places in our frontend, we use these endpoints with snapshotted values. So we have decided to create a second version of the endpoints in order to keep the compatibility. And after adding it, we will try to step-by-step change the used endpoints to version 2. So we'll migrate our front end to use second version of the endpoints. And of course, Kodim stated that there is a need to create a caching architecture discussion. So I have also added two tickets in order to add orderable and FTP caching. So after adding caching of these two classes, we will be able to finally use the second version of orderable and FTP endpoints. Requisition line item endpoints.
So it just occurred to me, and maybe this is a question to the group.
Yeah.
But since we have planned to remove all of those fields from the requisition line item, the version one of those endpoints for the requisition won't be able to use those fields anymore because they do not exist. So I was wondering whether you think it's okay that the version one of the endpoints will be having the same response schema, but it will be pulling data from another source, which is basically the orderable and program orderables rather than from the requisition line items themselves.
Well, I think it's a good idea in this case. So the shape of it will be the same and we'll just change the handling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are there any other remarks or questions? If not, thank you. Who wants to be next?
I can be next.
Okay.
I'll share my screen. Okay. In last sprint, I was working on tickets where I commit a package lock file to source control for all microservices. Firstly, I checked which service didn't have this file, and I added it. Next, I removed package lock entries in gitignore, if there exist. For example, I added this file to references data, to fulfillment service, report, and notification service. Next, ticket was relates with tickets where we removed supplying endpoint during the implementation of this ticket. It turned out that the endpoint endpoint is used by requisition service, so I have to replace it by supply names and endpoint. Here I remove duplicated endpoint, and here I replaced it by supply line and endpoint. Next ticket described a bug, and it was where we couldn't submit requisition, where the column with stock cards source was hidden. Firstly, I removed methods change new null value for not displayed stock columns, and set previous values for not displayed columns because it caused errors when we change these new values. We decide add additional condition to validator. Now the validator also accepts null values for hidden column from request.
Okay, so just a quick remark, Ola, we don't really need to go through the commits. If you can just explain on the high level what is the impact, that's good enough.
Okay. And last, In last ticket, I removed testing utils module from CCE UI. Okay, that's all. Do you have any question? If not.
Okay, so I will be next. Let's just share my screen. Ola, could you stop sharing yours? Okay. What is it? Okay, let me just open the Jira. Okay, so in the last sprint, I have done two tickets, and one is in dev review because it requires additional checking. I will say about it later. The first ticket was to update product names, and I have found a CSV file good enough to get from the codes and the names for our products. I replace almost every product to the new name and to the new code, but I had to keep some names for our testing purposes, for the functional test, for example. And as you can see on our what server, we got a bunch of new names and the codes. And if we copy the code to the Google, for example, and search for it, we can get the exactly parameters of this code and exact name of this medicament. So that's the first ticket. The second ticket was that the performance test does not load all the demo data, and it was affected. It affected on also the locally runned rev distro with the performance test flag. Basically, it was the problem that our demo data was not loaded correctly. I had to create a new script and change the flags. I also add a new flag, which is called the init audit log, which switch on the audit logging for the services, because I needed the refresh DB flag to add roles to the database. So, for example, if we check for by the postman the request to the CCI alerts endpoint, we got the request which has we got informed that we can get around 1,000 of the elements, but if we do the same request on the perf test server, we got the information that there is around 100,000 elements in the database. So it's the number of elements increasing significantly. And the third ticket was a ticket which bothered us a long time ago, that sometimes the CCE service fails to start on the functional test instance, but sometimes it also affects the locally rev distro and what server, but really randomly, and there was no reason for it. After a few days of investigating, I found out that Postgres JDBC connector has a bug in older version, because we had a version of Java 7, if I remember correctly. I think I had to bump all of the version, like Spring to 1.5.21, Hibernate to 5.0.12, and the Postgres connector to the latest one. And the problems looks like it's gone, because from the around for now 20 bits, there is no information that CCE instance is not on. As you can see, CCE instance is available, and if you could check the previous build, it also available. So that's everything from me. If you not have any questions, I will pass the microphone to the next one. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I can be next.
Okay, so first ticket I worked on in the sprint is about setting displayed flag in system notifications based on a start date, expire date, and active flag. So only those system notifications which are started, non-expired, and active are visible as displayed. So are marked as displayed and are displayed in the component for every user. And notifications without start date are treated as started, and without expire date are treated as non-expired. Okay, so I will quickly show you. I will add system notification, which will start in maybe one minute and expire maybe later, and add it. And it should be active. Yes, and it's not marked as displayed, but we have to wait a few seconds.
Or can we change the start date to 1 minute before?
Okay.
That's not the one.
It was that. Yeah, but it's now it should be. Yeah, and now it's displayed. We can also change expire date to maybe.
Yeah, you can change the time by clicking the clock button in the left down corner. Yeah.
And now it's not displayed because I set expire date as the date hour in the past. Yeah, and basically, okay, I will also remove active, and it should be inactive. Inactive and not displayed. And we can also remove expire date and set as active, and it should also be active and displayed. Yeah, and I think that's it. I also removed some not used jobs from the Jenkins. Deploy to UIT. There are all, just those four for now. And I also fixed filtering on system notifications. This bug was caused by changing state name without changing usages of the state. And so now we can search by only displayed system notifications or by some user. which is outer, and remove the filter. And I believe that's it. Do you have any questions? Okay, so who wants to be next?
I can go next really quick. Let me share my screen first. Okay, can you see my screen?
Yes.
Yes, so this sprint, I have only managed to finish one ticket, which is creating UI for adding and editing administrative messages. So to showcase that, I will basically go to the UIT server and start with creating a new notification. And the only field that is required is the message. So we only need to enter that. If we don't do that, we will basically get the usual stuff like information that the form is invalid and all the errors that we have for the fields. So I will add a test message and I will create the system notification without adding anything. Yes, and now I will go to the edit page. As you can see, we have the author, which is not editable, created date. Here I can change the start date and the expiry date. You can see that when I select a expiry date, I can no longer select a start date past that date. So the usual stuff, and we can also add a title. And when I update the notification, you can see that we have the notification shown. It is currently not displayed, so it won't show on the system notifications on the home page. Yeah, and that's basically it from me. Are there any questions?
No questions, but just one thing that really bothers me about this is that the title is at the very bottom of the form, which doesn't seem natural. I mean, the natural thing would be that you have first the title and then the message. And it just seems weird that the title is at the very bottom.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
The reason for that is title is optional field, so we don't really want that at the top. But we could move it like before the start date, as the message is required field. We put that on the top.
Okay.
Okay, are there any other questions? Okay, then that will be everything from me. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, it seems that only I am left in hearing Dnia. So let me share my screen. Okay, so during the sprint, I have completed 3 tickets. I will start from the ticket for displaying administrative notifications. So let me log into our system. So you've already seen it, but let me just describe some things that I added. So we have 2 new components. It's this indicator in header and also the main component on the homepage. So we can only see the notifications with the displayed flag. So when we go to the administrative panel, there are only five notifications with displayed flag, and we can see these five notifications here. Also, when so when the screen is too small for this number of notifications, there is a scroll. And also, when we go to the offline mode and reload the page, we don't see the notifications. Okay, so that would be everything about this ticket. And the second important thing was adding browser caching for fetching system notifications in order to avoid the situation that we call API every time we reload the page. So in order to show you, I will log out and log in again. So the first thing I would like to mention is that, okay, maybe let me do it again. So the cache is cleared on the login because users rarely log out by clicking the logout button. It's implemented on the login action. And the first call is to the API. So we get notifications from API. And if I reload the page, I don't see any call. These notifications are fetched from cache. I think it's everything to show. Does anyone have any questions? If not, then thank you. And I will stop sharing.
Okay, so I believe on the Gdańsk side that was everyone as well?
Yes.
Okay, so are there any questions to anyone about the stuff that was presented? Anything that needs to be made clear or any questions about future priorities? I'm hearing none. So the last thing that I wanted to do today is introduce our new team member in Team Mind the Parrot. Jakub has joined us this Monday, and we are currently during the process of onboarding him to the team. But very soon, which is, I think, a few days, you will start seeing the first commits from him and the first tickets completed by him. And hopefully Jakub will be showcasing something the very next sprint review that we have. Maybe Jakub, a few words from you.
Hello everyone, I'm Jakub. I used to work for 2 years in developing ERP system for medical placement, and now I joined it to your team, and I hope it's going to be good work with us, with you.
Welcome, Jakub. Glad to have you on the team.
Okay, so I think that's it from us on the showcase part.
Excellent. Thank you, Sebastian, and thank you, Soul Develop team. I think everybody on this call is for the Soul Develop side of things, except for Josh and I. So, Josh, did you have any questions or anything you wanted to bring up before we close?
No, I've been trying to think of how I would phrase the questions, but I think I'm just going to watch the recording later, because there were a couple points where I got confused, but I think if I just watch the recording, it'll be fine. So, no, I think I'll hold them, but thank you, everyone.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.